The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Stacey King, host of Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast.
Can I get some Give Me the Hot Sauce?
Three-time NBA champion.
Turnover, the Chicago Bulls. Three straight NBA championships.
Delivering some of the best calls for your Chicago Bulls.
2 seconds left. Giddy for the win.
Go! Oh, my God. I cannot believe this. Elizabeth, I'm coming, baby. Somewhere in Australia, Sydney, or Melbourne, Paul Hogan is somewhere here, Crocodile Dundee. Oh, Lord.
It's getting hot in here because Stacey King is on the way with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to the great Stacey King, best broadcaster in the league, Bulls TV, Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast. And Stacey joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Stacey, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, boys. I'm doing great.
And it was great to hear you. You guys did kind of the emergency podcast off of the draft, and we played some of your reaction. You seem pretty pleased that the Bulls got themselves Noah Esenge, the 6'10", 18-year-old, the 6'10 teenager from France who played in Germany the last couple of years. And I'm just curious, has that settled in for you? Do you feel very comfortable with him and what they did with him?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, you know, when you have the 12th pick in the draft, you got to go for what's best available. You know, what player is out there that is the best on the board. And I felt like this kid, you know, I called this earlier on our show, that this is a kid to watch because of his length, his size. He's one of the youngest in the draft. He's playing pro ball right now. And he's showing you that, you know, in a few years, if he's developed nicely, he could turn out to be, you know, a poor man's, Siakam over in Indiana. Mm. You know, that type of player that can be a two-way player for you offensively and defensively. And, you know, again, you have to appreciate what the Bulls are doing. I mean, I know a lot of people, you know, half the group wants them to go younger. They want to win now, you know, one foot in, one foot out. You know, they're committed to putting, you know, getting young talent now, you know. And if you want to call it rebuild, no one likes to use that word, rebuild. But, you know, technically it is. I mean, you got a roster full of good young players. They're building in the right direction. They're building for 2026. They're going to have a lot of money off the books to be able to, you know, get out and get in that free agent market. And then the draft next year is very good.
We, a year ago, were saying and hearing similar things about Matas Bezelis, Stacey. We saw him after a tough first half of the season, really flourish and ascend in the second half. And now he is who he is, a cornerstone foundational piece of this franchise. How similar and different is Esenge in terms of his development and how close he is to contributing to the Bulls?
Well, I think if you listen to him talk, you got to be impressed with him because, you know, he knows what he has to do. He wants to work. He wants to do whatever he needs to do to get on the floor. And when you have a kid that talks that way at 18, that tells you that he's serious about his craft. I think defensively, he's probably closer to being playing right away more so than offense. I think where you're going to see him develop offensively is in transition. You know, as you can see in the NBA championship between Oklahoma City and Indiana, the pace that those two teams played at, you got to have athletes, man. You can't have dinosaurs out there anymore. You got to have Ferraris and, not some Hyundais. You got to get out and run. And so this is a kid that can get out in transition right now. get rebounds, play some defense, get in transition, and get out and run. And again, you know, you hear all this, well, he can't shoot, he can't shoot. Well, that's not a forever, you know, forever situation. You can get better shooting, you know, but you can't get better. You can't have a kid who doesn't have a motor all of a sudden try to get a motor. This kid has a motor. You want guys that love to play, they like modest. They spend their time in the gym. They want to be out there. They want to get better. And I think coming and playing with people like that, it will really, really force him to do that.
Yeah, we talked to Mark Eversley yesterday, and Mark Eversley, I don't know where I'm going. We talked to Mark Eversley about this kid, mm-hmm. and we asked him, "What is the German Bundesliga like? How would you compare the basketball level he was at versus the ones, you know, whether it's a college league here, whether it's a the G League?" And he had a great answer. He said, well, he's playing against grown men. And so he went there when he was 17, and we know how the European outfits work. You recruit guys, you have them in your juniors, and then you play them with the first team. So when he was in the first team of that league, he did pretty well. His numbers are pretty good. But having played against grown men, it's kind of like the same idea with Matas, where you're coming in from not playing in college, but playing in the G League, and there are guys doing that professionally.
Well, I think the thing that I look at with this kid is that, one, he's 6'10 with shoes off. You always hear this, oh, he's listed at 6'10, but he's really 6'8 with shoes off. Well, right. One, we don't play with our shoes off. But he's a legit 6'10 with shoes on, and he's probably going to grow another inch or so. So he can probably top out about 6'11, maybe 7 feet. And once he adds, you know, muscle to his frame, you're going to have a pretty good specimen. But as far as him playing, you know, being an 18-year-old, you know, he did come over here a couple of years ago, and they played the Portland Trailblazers. And, right. You know, he had a pretty good game against legit pros, so at 17. So if you got a glimpse of him there, and I think also you have to take into consideration, too, is that his name skyrocketed up the boards. A lot of people had not seen him or been able to see him play, but over the last couple of weeks, his name skyrocketed on the board as being a guy that could be in the top 12, and some even thought in the top 10. And so when you look at what the Bulls are trying to do, listen, first of all, the Bulls have been small the last couple of years. We have a team full of guards. Last year it was necessary that we had all the guards because we had so many injuries at the guard position. But let's be realistic. We were a small team. You've got to start. The teams that are winning in this league have length. They have size. And, you know, people are going to look back in the draft and say, oh, they should have drafted Queen. They should have drafted this guy. Should have drafted that. You draft a guy that you feel fits your needs right now, you know. And I think that's what they did. They went out and got a long, athletic wing, which they desperately needed. You know, because right now you only have Modest and you have Patrick Williams. And so you don't really have a lot of depth at the big positions. And so I think they addressed their issue, what they needed to get.
Whether it was the draft and the decision-making to take Essanguet at 12 or moving forward and what to do with Vooch for next season, how does what's going on in the Eastern Conference with Boston and Milwaukee and Indiana having those injuries and maybe the whole conference being up for grabs, how does that affect the Bulls' decision-making for the draft and free agency?
Well, I mean, that's a tough situation because, you know, you might have the mindset like, oh, wait a minute, it's wide open now. Let's go win now. I think you have to stay the course of what your game plan was. I think the Bulls have to stay the course of let's build this team the right way. Let's gear ourselves up for 2026, the free agency, and the draft. We really don't want to be in the draft next year, but if we are, that's the draft you want to be in because there's some game changers in that draft. I mean, some of those kids would have probably moved Cooper Flagg down from number one. So there's a really good talent in that draft next year, but it is open. I mean, you look at teams like Cleveland who are healthy. They got to be licking their chops now, thinking they can come out of the East. You know, you look at Indiana; they're going to be hurting without Tyler. You know, without Halliburton. So, you know, Tyrese Halliburton. So they're going to be down. Boston's going to be down. Boston's already got rid of two starters. So they're trying to gear up and try to, you know, wait until Jason Tatum comes back. So some of these teams may be, you know, take a year off that were the elite teams. You don't know how New York's going to be without Thibodeau. What coach is going to come in there and make a difference and be better than what they had with Tom Thibodeau? So it is definitely wide open. Teams like, you know, Atlanta, Orlando, Detroit. Detroit, who was like the fifth or sixth seed this year, they got to be looking at their chops saying, hey, we got a legitimate shot to you know, come out of the Eastern Conference. So it's going to be interesting. And I think if you're the Bulls, I think, yeah, they want to win. Yeah, you want to win. But, you know, you also got to stay the course of what they're planning and what they're trying to do and where they're trying to build for the future, because you want to sustain it. You want sustainability. You don't want just a 1 year, oh, we were good 1 year, and then we're back to being where we should, you know, where we were the year before. So you just want to sustain what you're doing. I think they're doing that. I think the main priority is getting Josh Giddey back in fold, you know, and then Coby White. You know, what's Coby White's situation? Because, you know, he's going to be – his contract's going to come up pretty, you know, next year. So, you know, you got some decisions to make.
Yeah, you know, it was strange that they traded the pick yesterday. It's not surprising in any way. We knew going into the second round, and Eversley had talked about it the night before, that they had, you know, what is it now, 14 guys under contract if they do indeed bring back Giddey and sign Essanguet, which they'll do. So it's not like they got a lot of room. But when they traded that second-round pick, 10 spots for cash, it just was almost like a PR thing where – and teams do that. And as I said, they don't have any space for anyone. But, boy, it was almost like open season, people taking shots about what they're doing. And they got a kid from, is he Australian or New Zealander? Okay.
Yeah, he's from Australia. Yeah, he's pretty good. The kid's pretty good. I mean, I haven't seen him. I haven't seen him on a regular basis from what I've talked to people and what I have seen on film. He's got good feet. He runs the floor. Another guy that can get up and down the floor. Played in the same team that Josh Giddey came up through. Mm. So he's supposed to be pretty good. But listen, you know, at the end of the day, like, you know, they've got some decisions to make. You got to decide what you're going to do with Vooch. How that situation is going to work out. You got Lonzo here. You know, he's got a really nice contract that you can move. A lot of teams love Lonzo and they want him. You know, so you've got some questions. They got some questions they got to answer. You know, Javon Carter just opted into his option. So that puts a wrinkle in things too. But you know, they've got some decisions to make between now and the end of the summer and what they're going to do and what the team is going to finally look like coming in, because you know you still got free agency, but you got to move some people to get in that free agency. So it'll be interesting to see how that all shakes out.
If you were advising AK or Mark Eversley about how to handle Coby White's situation, what would you recommend?
Man, you know, that's why they get paid the big bucks.
Right.
You know what? I love my day job, man. I don't want to get. Listen, I love Coby. I think Coby has made some tremendous strides. I've always been a big fan of his game, and he's evolved into a very good NBA player now. You know, I think the question is like, you know, he's going to command a lot of money. If you're going to pay Josh Giddey, you know, $30 million a year, what is Coby White worth? Hmm. You know, is he worth 40? I mean, so, and then you got Io coming on the book soon. I mean, you got some decisions to make, man. And you know, you got to ask this question. Like, you know, I know in the second half, Coby played, there was a stretch of games where he just played out of his mind. We've seen that with Coby, you know, but that's going to be something Kobe's going to have to do on a nightly basis every night. Can he do that? Is he capable of putting together stretches, you know, like Zach LaVine? Whether you like Zach or not, you know, maybe, you know, he's a high-volume scorer, blah, blah, blah. Zach could get you 25 or 30 every night. So you have to ask, you know, is Coby capable of doing that? We've seen it in stretches. We've seen where he goes on these 10, 11-game, you know, just right. scoring binges. But can he do it consistently, you know, every single night as you're starting two guard?
It's fascinating to me to think about what to expect from the newest Bull. What does Essanguet do for them next year? Is this a guy, you know, you mentioned that he's probably further ahead with his defense than his offense. He's also a end-to-end guy that can finish at the rim and maybe help protect the rim in a fast break type of game. We think of Matas and the way that he got on the floor. Initially, he wasn't getting on the floor because Billy Donovan wasn't pleased with his defense, and he had to prove that he could play defense in order to get on the floor and play. If this kid can play defense, can he get on the floor? A lot of people say, well, you can't. He's 18 years old. You can't really expect too much from him as he jumps up a level or two coming into the NBA, that it will take him longer and you got to be patient with him. Do you look at it that way, Stacey, or do you think that if he can defend, he can play?
I look at it this way. I mean, if he's on a championship caliber team, he's playing on Oklahoma City, you can afford to sit him. You can afford to sit him, send him down to the G League and let him play. But when you're a team like the Bulls who need to develop players, they have to be out there on the floor. You can't have them sitting, all year long and think they're going to develop. They don't develop. First of all, there's not a lot of practice time, as you guys know.
Right.
So if you had practice time, you could use that time to develop him and get more one-on-one time with him. But they don't practice a lot because of the travel schedule, and so they don't get a lot of practice time. And, you know, the Bulls are not a championship-caliber team right now. So all hands on deck. You got to play these kids, and you got to develop them, and you got to live with their mistakes. You know, that's what developmental is. That's where you show them. You bring them, show them videos, tapes, and they say, hey, you know, you've got to rotate here defensively. You've got to be here when we are doing this on the other side. And they have to go through these experiences. They have to learn. They've got to fail. And then they've got to be reprimanded and be taught what they're supposed to do. Because, listen, I came out of four-year school, big-time college, mm-hmm. okay? And I could block shots and run the floor and rebound, do all that stuff. But the way the defense is and the defensive system in the NBA is totally different than college or any other league that you're playing in, because NBA defense is straight man-to-man. And you're going to have to guard people. And you're going to have to know how to switch. And you're going to have to play pick and rolls. And it's a little bit different now because, you know, when I played, it was like you stayed on a power forward or you stayed on the center. And maybe you blitzed the pick and roll and you trapped guards. The way the defense is set up now, you're asking your 5 and 4 guys to switch on, you know, point guards and two guards, and have to guard them for about 15 seconds possession. And so you got to know where the rotations are. You got to know when I have to rotate a second time, where am I supposed to be? Where do I got to go? Those are things that have to be learned, and those are the things you have to have experience in. You throw them out there. You throw them out there. Let them take their lumps. You know, they're going to get their butts kicked. But the Bulls are not in position right now and where they're going. They're not a championship caliber team. Let's be honest. They're a team right now trying to build a championship team the right way. And so that's the only way your young players are going to learn. Look at Modest. If you go back and you look at Modest last year, Modest, when he got extended minutes, Modest played extremely well. Mm. Now, I'm talking 20-plus minutes, he played really well. And second half of the season, he got those minutes. He got those minutes. And there was times Modest failed defensively. He was not where he was supposed to be. And you have to tell him. You have to get on him. Okay, you got to be here. Let's watch film. You got to break it down to him. Because sometimes a kid will say, I was there. But the film don't lie. That's what the late, great Johnny Bock would always say to us. Is we would tell him, yeah, I was there, coach. I rotated there. I was there. The film don't lie. Let's go look at the film. And then sure enough, you weren't where you're supposed to be. And then he's like, okay, all right, you got me, coach. Okay, all right, I see what you're talking about.
So, Stacey, before we let you go, I have to know this. You were in on Noah Essengay in saying that Bulls should take him, and I didn't hear that from a lot of other people. What did you know, and when did you know it?
Well, I've seen videos of him early, like last season. And I didn't really think anything. I was just thinking about what would the Bulls be able to get at that position. You know,
right.
Once they figured out
right.
that they were going to be like 12. Now, we were number one. You knew where I was going. So, but once I figured out that they were going 12, I started doing my homework. Because we talk about on our show a lot who the Bulls could get at that position, what could possibly fall. Could there be a situation that happened to Modest? Modest was supposed to be a top 5 pick last year. He slips all the way to 11. You know, Dalton Connect, who was supposed to be a top 5, slipped all the way down, you know, into the teens. So there's always someone going to slip, you know. And I just felt like, let me see who's coming up. You know, and if you think about this, guys, if you've seen what's going on the last few years, France is starting to become a threat internationally in basketball.
Yeah.
They took the Dream Team to the brink of extinction, to the brink of an upset. And these young players that you see in the United States right now, the ones that are playing in Atlanta and Washington, Sarr in Washington, and the other kid, Echeverry or Nez, whatever his name is, in France, I mean, in Atlanta. And then you see Wimby. You know, Wimby's, yep. Wimby's the charter. Wimby's the he's like the head vampire. He's created a lot of little guys, and now they've all played. These kids all play together. They all play together in like youth league. So there's this international like flavor with France now that you know these kids can play, man. And I think people are starting to take it seriously, and you're starting to see more French players come over now.
Stace, we'll let you go. I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on this Ace Bailey story. This is one of the all-time weird ones. The guy, he doesn't want to interview with anyone. He wants to force himself, I guess, to Washington. Then he winds up in Salt Lake City. He doesn't show up. He's got to be there by Monday to get his $40 million, and maybe he doesn't go.
Well, I'll tell you what's really kind of hurt these kids a little bit is that this NIL, you know, they're getting money now in college. They're getting $4 or $5 million in college. So they come to the NBA. They're not poor. They're not broke. Okay. So they think because I got this NIL money, I can decide where I want to go. It doesn't work that way. Listen, he got bad advice. Whoever was his representation or whoever's in his inner circle gave him some bad advice, because at the end of the day, you're at a job interview. You're going to a job interview. Forget the money. Forget that it's the NBA. It's a job interview. Whether you work out for the team or not, you go interview for the team. Okay? You don't have to work out. You know? You don't have to work out when you're a top five pick. I would say go do it, but I would do it. But a lot of kids don't. They'll just go in there for the interview process. You got some bad advice, and I'm going to tell you something. If Utah was smart, because Utah recognizes that regardless of the situation, regardless of what his attitude was, he's still a top three player. There's no way in the world that we can let this guy slip past us. Because I think if he slips past Utah, he might have dropped in like 10. He might have dropped even further. So Utah did him a favor, I think, by drafting him and recognizing that he's an elite talent. And, yeah, once he gets here and once he sees – what Utah's all about in our organization. We got Dwayne Wade part of it, yep. You know, so I think he'll warm up to it. And probably that's what he needs. Maybe he needs to be in a place where, you know, there's stability. You know, there's not a lot of stability in Washington. There's a lot of things, you know, a lot of, you know, I know they're making a lot, they've got their team full of veterans now, but they've been a down franchise for a while now, as far as like the talent and just not winning. And now maybe being in Utah will be a good place for him. He'll be around, you know, Danny Ainge and his son. You know, they're doing a good job. You know, they got a good young coach there. So, you know, maybe that'll get him to turn it around a little bit. He's got talent, though. You get no denying the kid is a very good basketball player.
Great stuff, Stacey. Thanks a ton. Always great to catch
up. Thanks,
Stacey.
Thank you, boys. Glad to, hey, Dave, congratulations on the Hall of Fame, baby.
Hey,
I didn't know you were swinging like that, Dave. I didn't know you had an arm like that, baby.
Thanks, Stacey. Appreciate it.
All right, boys.
All right, you
too. That's Stacey King. Is that for your arm?
No, that's okay.
It's your hand.
It's the spirit of the – it's the intention.
That's great.
It's the thought that counts.
That's fun stuff.
Yeah.
Always good to talk to Stacey. 312, we got to get into a couple of things he said there. 312-644-6767, Mullion Hall on the score.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
With the 12th pick in the 2025 NBA Draft, the Chicago Bulls select Noah Essengay from Saint-Jean-du-Bray, France, and the Ulm Club in Germany.
We have another trade to announce. As part of a deal to be finalized later, the Los Angeles Lakers are trading to the Chicago Bulls the draft rights to Lachlan Olbridge, the 55th pick.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Lachlan Olbridge is... Australian center, 6'10 guy, a man with a mustache that can dunk a little and rebound. I don't know how great a shooter he is.
Comes from Australia. He was the Big West Freshman of the Year, I think, a couple years ago. And he is a guy who played for the same team in Australia as Josh Giddey did, I think, at one point in time. So we'll find out if he's a draft and stash guy. But he comes from Australia. The first-round pick comes from France. And tonight is draft night in the NHL. The Hawks may get, with the third overall pick, somebody from Sweden.
Yeah.
Anton Fröndahl could be the guy that they draft. He has a shot like a missile, and he's built like a tank, apparently. That's a good thing to be if you're a hockey player.
That sounds pretty good.
So the international flavor in Chicago this draft season is real.
They signed a kid, Caleb Grills, who was a guard from Mizzou, to a two-way contract. And that's, I think, when they put together their summer league team, we'll have a better feel for what that roster looks like. But I would imagine that just from what we've heard, that definitely there will be Noah Essengay on that team.
Yeah, I think he'll play in the summer league. Yep. Matas Pizelis is supposed to show up for limited participation.
Right?
And the Bulls, from a roster standpoint, they have 14 spots filled in their minds. I know Josh Giddey, it's more elaborate. You have to, I think, tender him a contract, so you have the right of refusal and or to match in restricted free agency. But when all is said and done, the Bulls believe they have 14 contracts right now, barring a trade, and we don't know what's ahead. But there's only one spot left, and you'd like to keep that open for free agency because you got a mid-level exception. You could add a veteran. You have the two-way players that have options. And so that's why when you have a second-round pick, you're not as motivated to use that on a player if you have a roster that doesn't have much flexibility. And the Bulls just, they don't have that luxury right now.
It was interesting. I watched the beginning of the second round. I didn't stay with it all night because there were a lot of guys that you didn't really care about. But I saw a Broom get drafted. That was pretty wild. He went.
Jahni Broom went to the Sixers.
Yes,
35th overall.
35th.
I believe. Yeah.
Right.
So National Player of the Year falls into the second round, and I think he's got some. Obviously, he's got some skills. He's a shot blocker. He's a guy who offensively can be dangerous. I don't know if he fits the modern NBA because it's such an emphasis on 3-and-D. He certainly wouldn't be somebody the Bulls would add because of his limitations that way.
It's almost like a Barkley kind of body. He's taller than Barkley, but not as wide. But he plays a kind of game like that where it's a power game, but an undersized player.
Yeah, he will get an opportunity likely in Philadelphia because they don't have, you know, Joel Embiid's going to miss half the season. You know that they're going to probably have some injury situations that allow and require them to rely on young players who might not be ready. So,
how many games does he have to play for them to be good?
Joel Embiid?
Yeah.
Oh, 60?
Like, it can't be 25.
No, yeah, he's got it. But
okay.
Expecting
60 is a good answer.
At this stage of his career, you wonder if he's even capable of doing that.
Does he have 60? It feels like that could be one of the teams that can surprise in the Eastern Conference. I think Atlanta has done a ton of stuff in the last week or so that makes you feel like they can contend a little bit.
They've been active. They definitely have been active, no doubt about that. So yeah, I don't. Jahni Broom will get a chance, and we'll see where that goes. A lot of the NBA draft is, as we talked yesterday, that it's not like it used to be, where the best college players become guys you see going off the board quickly in the first round. That's just not the case.
I also want to add in too, we had a Northwestern kid drafted by OKC. I think that's the
Brooks
first
Barnizer.
Time.
Yep.
Since what, 1999, a player from Northwestern got drafted in the NBA draft.
That was great. You're right.
Going to Oklahoma City is not a bad place to be. You know, that's
you
a team.
You make that team,
Well, if he makes it, or just in that organization, but good for Brooks Barnheiser and the Northwestern program. Was the last guy to be drafted Evan Eschmeyer? Was that the last Northwestern kid to be
drafted?
To drafted? in the first or in the second round?
You are correct.
Okay.
Look at that. Mr. David. That's one of those names. Wildcats.
One of those names you remember. Yeah, good for him. That's a good. OKC had an interesting draft. They had all the picks.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They used them. They weren't interested in necessarily stashing anybody anywhere except for maybe the G League team.
I like the fact too that Charlotte is just, it's been the history of the whole like Charlotte Hornets Bobcats thing. They always draft somebody from like Duke or North Carolina. Yeah. I think they got three players from Duke alone. The Hornets. It's crazy. It's a good draft, but it was all from, most of them from
Knappe. Was that a surprise where they drafted him?
No, people say he could have been a top five. Yeah, I think he's going to be pretty solid.
Did you see that interview on the Four Letter Network after he got drafted?
All the tears?
No, but there's like five brothers total.
Brothers, yeah.
They're all KK. Their first and last name.
Yeah.
And they were talking about like the street, like driveway games they play against each other.
Aren't
like,
they known as the Flying Knepples?
Something like that. But I mean, they look so. That was the first. You always, as we get older,
yes.
The players get younger. That was the first. I felt so old. Like,
yes.
Looking at those five boys.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, looks like he's 15.
And there was one who talked, and he looked like he was about 15.
Right.
And he claimed to be the best of the bunch, yeah. which was cute.
It was really funny.
Clint, Clay, Cole. Yeah. And their father, Con Sr., was part of the team. They were known as the Flying Knepples.
Con Sr. apparently had the same thing with his family. They were all Ks.
Mm-hmm.
So he named all his kids with a K.
How about that?
Yeah. Congratulations.
Big 3-3 team.
Not a well-known letter.
I saw some videos of those games, like street games. Mm-hmm. Really impressive.
Like family video?
Yeah, like really impressive stuff. Yeah.
Did you stick with the second round long, Brandon? Did you watch all of it?
No, I fell asleep on it. I'm not going to lie. I didn't even get to see the Bulls pick. It was very slow. Like, I know they're doing the round a day thing. Even though I do like David's idea of the NFL doing a round a day, NBA is just too slow. No trades. It wasn't the same.
How long will you stick with the NHL draft tonight?
I'm going to watch it up to probably maybe when the Blackhawks pick, and then I'm out.
To the third pick?
Which one? Third or 25th. Oh, okay, good. Yeah. They could get a player there.
Do we have a name for the 25th pick in the draft, Mr. David? Can you give us a
I'm not going that deep in the draft. I'm not going to lie. You study the top 10 or 15 names.
Let's get a projection.
And then you kind of know. After that, 25th, I'll do the research when they pick a guy. That's their job. They pick the guy, and we'll figure it out. Okay. There's just so much. And the world is such a big place for hockey players. You know, you got to worry about Europe. You got to worry about, you know, all the
Slovakia and the Czech Republic. And there's tough. A lot to worry about.
It's tough. It's tough to remember all that stuff.
You can't get all that information.
No, yeah. I think they'll get a player that it's interesting to hear from Eddie O that none of the players that he thinks are going to go in the first five are players necessarily
that
you're going
play
to see
immediately
next
That's
year.
Interesting.
Matthew Schaefer, even the number one overall consensus player, he'll be taken first. I thought he would be an immediate contributor to the Islanders, but Eddie's not so sure. And Michael Mesa, you could envision based on some people's reporting that he would be a guy
if he scores like that.
If he's in Chicago, I wonder if that would be something. Best case scenario for the Hawks to me is San Jose passes on Mesa for whatever reason.
Yes.
And they take him. If they don't, they take Frondell. And
that's a good scenario too.
That's a pretty good scenario as well.
Yeah. I wouldn't worry about it either way. I'm getting here. Hold on a second. I'm almost
You're getting a name for the 25th pick.
Here we go. How about Ivan Rabkin, 5'11", 198 pound Muskegon Lumberjack of the USHL. The Hawks continued to add more forward skill to their lineup by selecting Robikin. The pick doesn't come with some risk, however. He has an offensive skill set that cannot be taught, and he produced 26 goals, 20 assists, and 41 games with the Lumberjacks.
Well, I think that's a name as good as any. That's a stocky player.
That's a
5'11", 185?
198.
198?
5'11", 198.
Well, he's sturdy legs. You need sturdy legs. And he sounds like a pretty good skater.
I got a name, too. Cullen Potter. He's a wing from Arizona State. I think if you get the Fondell dude. That's more the big physical guy.
Yeah.
Then you get this guy, kind of smaller, okay, quick, fast playmaker. You get more on the offense. I think that's a good pick.
Not going to lie, I think that sounds better to me. Fast, speed guy.
How about if you get Misa, you come back with Blake Fiddler. He's a 6'4", 209-pound defenseman from the Edmonton Oil Kings.
Fiddler? I think his potential has a roof.
Yeah, okay. if I were a rich man.
So you want me to sing that one?
Yeah, Dustin, you probably have a song in your heart.
No, no more singing.
No, he knows that he's on vacation.
So. I know he's in vacation mode. Hey, before we break here.
He's not bringing pants. That's
shout out to a listener, a loyal listener to Get Well Soon. He's in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Hear from him, Richard Underwood. Richard Underwood is a big, longtime score listener.
Excellent.
Really appreciate the loyalty. Hope he gets well soon.
Thank you, Richard. Hope you are well soon. Absolutely.
Big draft night tonight.
Big draft
Cubs
night.
Weekend in Houston. The Sox at home against the Giants, which doesn't happen often. Verlander pitching Sunday.
Yeah, that's big.
We're looking for his first victory of the season.
The Pope could be watching on Sunday. No, he's busy. Well, don't get into the Pope stuff.
No, I'll get the T-shirt this weekend.
Yeah, don't worry. Okay. You're all set. We'll be talking about it on Monday. Hey, we've got, I believe, the great Mark Grody. Grody time! And he is with Marshall Harris next. We'll get a chance to talk to those guys a little bit, just a little. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.